Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is
Time Pop!
Pop.
I was hoping to get a hiccup right there. That would have been.
I know, that would have been perfect. I think they stopped.
So, like, your hiccup stopped because we're doing the podcast. It scared your hiccups away.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's stage fright.
That's the cure.
This is such a Dez movie. for longtime fans of the Desmond brand of movie podcast, this is a film I have seen dozens of times.
Oh, wow.
And yet, I just watched it for the first time.
That's so beautiful.
Meaning you sat down, didn't do anything else, and just looked at the screen?
I did.
Wow.
Wow. Like not multitasking, just sitting and watching something.
Very little multitasking.
Used to like texting things.
Yeah.
Not much. Well, Cormac started it with us, and then when it got a little creepy, he went to bed, and then we watched the last hour and 20 without him. But no, this is just like, and I have just realized recently just how much I have turned the Harry Potter series into like three movies in my head.
Yeah.
And every time I watch one, I'm like, no, wait. That's in this one?
Yeah, it's in the map in this one. Wait, when does the creature come out? Wait, oh.
Yeah, and so this was like a very hyped up version of that. First of all, I thought the first three were all super like kid friendly. Like I didn't think it started getting a little weird and dark until four. So I was thinking Cormac was, I mean, I knew there was some, you know, werewolves and stuff, but like, I was like, oh, Cormac's going to be fine with this one. And then it's like, oh my gosh, it got dark kind of fast.
Yeah, the first is kid friendly and then it starts getting a little shaky. And then starting with four or five, then it's a whole new
even
level.
The second one is scary with those big spiders. My goodness.
Oh, and the serpent thing, the snake at the end. I still can't watch it.
There's a lot more stuff on Does the Dog Die for Harry Potter than you would imagine.
Yeah, spiders, snake.
Scott.
Yeah.
What's your overall history with Harry Potter? You big fan of the books in the 90s? Did you pick them up around movie three? Where do you come in on the series?
I am like a good, solid middle human being on this. There's so many things that I nerd out about in terms of like superheroes and Star Wars. And I'm not deep into Potter. I have a great respect for it. I've seen all of them. I just like them, but I'm not deep nerddom into it. I am currently rewatching them with Zoe, with my daughter. And so we started from, and so it's interesting to kind of watch through. There's been some new observations. This one I remember not liking that much, and now watching it again, I like it better. In fact, reading it, that people say that this is considered one of the best ones
of the books
and like of the movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't read any of the books. Of the movies, it's considered one of the best. And I think what's the name, Alfonso Cuarón? Like his style is pretty great. It's shot in a really interesting way. I guess this is the first one that he tried to use more real sets, and that hippogriff apparently was a big deal for them to animate. So I like this one better now. It's got Gary Oldman in it. I mean, the first I feel like is the classic, is the best.
Yeah, and we're getting some real actors in here. I mean, not that, you know, the first couple have some great actors, but like this one, it's like people are signing on now. They're like, I want to be a part of
this. Yeah.
And it's getting big. And again, you know, we're just lining everything up for fans of the We Mixed It Sounds Awesome series. This director, if you want to check out this director, the Apocalypse Now podcast, Children of Men.
Yeah.
We talk about this director quite a bit, and he gets around. Oh, real quick.
He did Gravity, right? I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh.
And he did Eat Tu Mama Tambien. That was his first.
You Eat My Mama.
Whoa. Hey, that's a different podcast.
So we watched Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, the third movie and subsequently of the subsequent series, the third, I don't know. It's the third installment of the Harry Potter series. There we go.
Let's go back in time. Let's try to wind the rock three times and try that again.
No way. We're doing this. We're plowing through. Came out in 2004, rated PG, 2 hours and 22 minutes. That was another thing. I was like, oh, this is an early Potter. This will come in under 2 hours. Not a chance, buddy. Directed by Alfonso Cuarón, written by some English broad, starring Daniel Radcliffe, Emma Watson,
and starring some British actors and people, whatever.
The other are respectable human beings. I don't hate her as much of a lot as a lot of people do now, but I will dismiss her enough as to call her a broad.
Who?
J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Ari.
Yeah.
Harry Potter. Talk about it.
I feel like I just missed the perfect age for those books. I think I was a little too old for me. I never read the books. Seen most of the movies. I like them. You know, I like anything fantasy, witchcraft kind of stuff. I don't, you know, live and die by them, which a lot of people I know do.
Isn't it nice to have a series that's just fun to watch and you're not like, it's not like Star Wars where your childhood is invested in it, or it's not Star Trek where
some people's childhood is absolutely invested in Harry Potter. Like
yeah,
people.
Oh, I know it. I'm talking just about us.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like just
that's
for,
true, huh?
For this threesome here, like we can just watch them. And like, but you know what though? As not like invested as I am in these, I'm gonna be really mad when they remake them, because you know.
In like 20 years.
Well, you know what? If they wait 20 years, I think I'll be okay with that. But like, they were talking about remaking them when they were still filming number 7.
Really?
And well, because by that time, the first one was 15 years old. And they were like, imagine doing this with, you know, imagine doing this in 4D or, you know, whatever. And then they're trying to do, I think they tried to temper it with the offshoot. I forget what it's called.
Oh, Fantastic Beasts.
The Fantastic Beasts, and I don't know if those are, you know, they banged out a second one, you know, the first one did well enough, but, you know, if those flop, I think they're going to have they can't let this franchise die, and if their trials to make up their own stuff don't work, then they're going to have to go back to the well and just bang these books out again. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they could do, like, the further adventures of, like, Harry Potter's future child or something. I could totally see them milking that.
That's true. They could do a Dexter. Like, I'm enjoying the new Dexter, so who's to say I wouldn't enjoy the new Potter? As long as he's a murdering hillbilly, I'll be happy.
The Granger Chronicles.
Ooh, yes. So this movie, and another thing, like, I knew it wasn't, like, you know, Back to the Future time travel heavy, but I thought they laid a little bit more of the groundwork through it to lead up what they were doing. I didn't realize that the only thing you see in the first 90 minutes is, oh, Hermione's here. How'd you get here? And that's our only hint that anything is going on for 90 minutes.
Yes.
And then, I don't know, do we get any, like, do we want to do this whole movie from beginning to end, or do we want to kind of breeze through and get to the time travel part? Okay. So the first 90 minutes of this is Harry Potter stuff. You can pick up any movie and watch it for 90 minutes. And you'll know what we're getting into. And then
you could say a loose thing, right? You could just say that, like, Sirius Black is let out of jail and he thinks he's out to kill him, but he discovers he's on his side.
Just say it then, Scott.
No,
come on.
That's
do it.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I don't want to gloss over it because it's not good. I'm just glossing over it because this isn't pop.
Uh-oh.
Hear me?
Yeah,
check. Oh,
can you hear us?
No, he's having a few. Desmond's having a few time sound pops, which is different than time pop. Time pop and sound pop.
Can you hear us, Desmond?
I can.
All right.
There we go. Okay.
Nice.
I put this piece of paper on my soundboard, and apparently it created a sound. This woody pulp created a sound barrier that cut everything out. Well, let me see. Let me just look at my notes, because I actually started taking, like, hella notes, because I was like, I want to make sure I'm paying attention to this movie since I'm actually watching it. And then an hour in, I was like, all right, wake me up when they start time traveling.
Yeah. The time travel starts at, like, after 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's
essentially the last 30 or 40 minutes. Yeah. Well, but before that, there's significant acts which are relevant, which things that happen that come to play in the time travel. So,
oh, this one, just as far as Potter relevance, this is when he finally basically gets out of his crappy home life. Like, it starts off and Harry's at home and it sucks, like always. And, you know, you think his parents are bad enough, and then his aunt shows up and she's the real monster. So he casts a spell on her and she floats away. And they finally, for a while, I was like, are we gonna find, like, does she just float into space and suffocate? But you finally, like, if you listen closely, they, in the background, you hear like a woman was found in blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
And so she survived that, and then they erased her memory. Oh, and oh god, I can't, this does have one of my favorite just silly magic things, the bus. I love the bus. It's so, I love the idea of it, that there's just, you know, I just like the idea that muggles are just not paying attention, like all of this stuff is just happening around us, and if we would just slow down and pay attention, you know, it's basically what Katie does. I mean, Katie's basically a witch, you know, she just sees all the stuff that we don't see. Katie Rubin, star of the hit podcast, All the Answers.
That was a nice little segue. That was great. I like that the ring wraiths make an appearance in this. I mean, the Dementors is kind of enjoyable.
They're nasty.
But why, do you have any reason why they even attacked Harry Potter in this, in the beginning, or while he's playing Quidditch? Why reason would they have to attack him?
I never explained. Yeah, it makes sense that they would be drawn to him, but the fact that no one explains, like, hey, you're Harry friggin' Potter, and the Dementors, who's making these creatures? Like, who's...
What's their origin?
Oh, wait, didn't they explain it?
But their origin, like, me, I can see, like, are they lost souls? Are they created like orcs? Like...
Didn't it say, weren't they old servants of Voldemort or something? I really am starting to confuse this with Lord of the Rings now.
Yeah.
But I thought they were like servants of Voldemort, and now, yeah.
I'm watching this, Game of Thrones, and The Wheel of Time at the same time.
Oh my God, it's all going to bleed together.
It's such a fantasy world right now.
Yeah. Don't forget to pay your bills.
Oh, I did love, because I've been inundated with the word plebe since Will went to military school. He was a plebe for the first month, and I was actually there for the ceremony where he graduated to a cadet, and they hammered into you, like, you really got to climb the ranks in the military and even in military school. And he was referred to as basically nothing but a plebe for the first month, so it was a very big deal. And she, and the painting in here that eventually gets sliced up, and that woman, the woman in the door, Maggie Fortuna Major, the one who's trying to break the glass with her voice. And then she refers to them, like, when they're like, hey, open the door. And she's like, what's the magic word? And they're like, she goes, ugh, plebes. So plebes. That made me happy. Plebes.
So,
oh, and the pendulum of the belt of the clock tower is so visible throughout this movie, and you never see it in the other seven movies. Like, I think you see the clock occasionally, and you definitely hear the bells, but like, they, like, every time they go in the front door, they have to dodge the pendulum in this movie. Like, they really, they're like, time, huh? Time, remember? Time, people.
Just a little gentle reminder. I like this film. It seems unique in that it reminds me of Back to the Future 2, of like a time travel film where like they're watching themselves and sneaking around their own past selves. We haven't seen that in a lot, right?
No. And
where you're kind of, yeah.
And I was hoping they were going to play with that a little bit more. I even having seen this before and watching it, I kept hoping that second Hermione was going to jump out and scare Malfoy. Like Hermione punches him, and then he runs in. Second Hermione is standing there watching him, and I think she should have really melted his brain by jumping out in front of him.
Yeah, they had stuff to do.
And this is also, I'm trying to figure out the name of the map, but I love that map. That is so cool.
It shows you who's in Hogwarts.
Yeah, I solemnly swear that I am up to no good. Marauder's map. Mischief managed.
All right, we'll see if we can get you one for the holidays.
Ari!
Hey!
So then they have to run to The time travel stuff starts when they go to Hagrid's.
So,
but they don't know it yet. But what are they doing first time around?
Yeah. So this movie is where they go through a series of events and then they travel back and you see them re-stepping those, going through those steps once again. So they,
well, from a different point of view,
from the time traveler's perspective.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you get the first glimpse when they're in Hagrid's house and a rock is thrown through the window and one hits Harry in the back of the head.
Well, the first one shatters.
Then the other one hits Harry in the back of the head and you get to see what the rock looks like. And then there was a few, as it progresses, as they release, you know, as they think that the hippogriff gets killed and as they discover the werewolf guy and the changeling guy, there's a couple of things that happen that are just kind of unexplained. And then when
the
sound and the person across the lake that magically makes all those ghost things, the dementors, disappear. And then they get to a point where they need to save, what's the guy, the Azkaban Sirius? Guy? Sirius, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just so nonchalant that Dumbledore is like, oh, time's a funny thing. And, you know, Hermione, you know how time works. So get back before this last stroke of midnight, you know, and Ron and Harry are like, what? What's happening? And she pulls out her necklace and loops it around Harry. And oh, yeah. And Dumbledore says, I think three turns would be enough.
Yes.
So...
Which I looked up. It is common knowledge to Potter fans that one twist is an hour.
So, but three twists was not 3 hours.
I think it was.
No, because they got back and it was 7:30.
So they went. Oh.
It was 7:30. She said, "Where were we at 7:30 p.m.?" And then they run off to start their adventure. So it's not 1 hour per twist.
So that makes sense. That makes sense that they would have been back at 10:30.
No, she said be back by midnight, by the last stroke of midnight.
Oh, she actually says midnight?
Dumbledore says that. Stroke of midnight.
Okay.
Be back.
I thought he said at the stroke of this clock or at the stroke, whatever it's dinging right now.
I thought it was midnight, but maybe it was 10.
I think he just said at the strike of this hour. I don't think he says midnight.
Oh, I thought it said midnight. Okay.
So Dumbledore essentially does one of his things where he acknowledges that she has the time Turner. But also that she said, oh yeah, I got it from Professor McGonagall. So she just said, oh, you're signed up for two classes here. You can time travel and just attend both.
Yeah.
Even though wizards are not supposed to meddle with that, they say what a big deal it is.
No, there is a, let me see.
Yeah. Like why did McGonagall give Hermione a time turner in her first term?
You could argue that this is all a loop and they knew that this was supposed to happen.
Oh, that's good.
That's the only explanation that would make sense.
No, there's a there's something in the and of course I'm sure this is all written afterwards, but another thing in the Harry Potter wiki is that this is a common thing, that's because these are all wizard overachievers, so this is actually something you can apply for if you want to take more classes than time allows.
Even though they said like time travel, like wizards shouldn't meddle with it and it's a really big deal and it has dangerous consequences.
Going back an hour to do another class is, you know, it's something that there's that. God, where did it go?
Where did it go? Is it like Harry Potter Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Potterpedia?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, everything's very, while you're finding that, just everything is very loosely explained in this film. Yeah, it just comes up. Essentially, Dumbledore kind of hints that he knows, and then she's like, oh yeah, Harry, I've been using this thing that you didn't know about to attend classes, and let's go quickly, and here we go. They don't spend a lot of time setting up the world, right? They just, Dumbledore says essentially, don't be seen, and that like meddling can have serious consequences. That's it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty loose time travel guideline.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, for us, we would of course love it if they spent the whole episode training and learning on it and her messing up and running from her other self and all that. But when you're in a world of magic spells and wizardry and all that kind of stuff, it's like, of course there's a spell that can send you back a while. And it is one of those things where again, reading up on this and outside of the movie, that like it's something that the Ministry of Magic has developed these for things as trivial as taking an extra class. But then, of course, it's Draco Malfoy. Is it Draco? Is that the dad?
Oh, yeah. No, the Draco. Yeah, yeah.
Not the dad, whoever he is, the real yeah. bad guy. He, of course, was part of the development of one that could go back years and even decades, which I don't know, which then they finally, because I think the biggest problem, too, is they had to develop the power to bring you back, because this one doesn't have the power to bring you back. You're really just, you have to live through that in real time. Like, as soon as you go back as Hermione Prime, and you're watching basically a shadow of your first self. I mean, I guess we never saw them manipulate it, so it is more than a shadow, because in theory you could mess with time and affect it, but she's almost like, it's almost like a primer effect where she has to live through all that time that she went back again.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of these all of a sudden, like Tenet, you had to live all that time.
The time was sped up as she was traveling back.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She went back quickly. She didn't have to experience it in real time.
But to get back to the regular, she had to live through it in real time to get back to where she
was. Not in real time.
When she went back forward, she had to go. Going backwards, yes, that's a magic spell that's instant. Getting back to
she's a real time.
Yeah, but I thought you were saying that traveling backwards was in real time. That was sped up.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just saying that our
you can't travel forward.
Our last couple movies have been different. Like last season, everything was a machine, and you'd step in the machine, you'd go where you wanted. Then when you were done, you'd get back in the machine, you come back to where you started. In the last couple movies we've talked about, there's some movement of the machine, like the Tomorrow War. Yes, that was a point to point, but those two points were always traveling, so you could only go back as far as the time machine was now, not where the time machine was when you left. And then Tenet, again, different source of time traveling, but still some real time stuff is going on there. And then Synchronic, there was also, it was also real, like you went back in time, but you were constantly moving forward as you did it.
Yeah. Plus they were on a mission, right? They're trying to, Dumbledore says also they could save a few lives if they do this. So of course they're not supposed to do it, but Dumbledore is like kind of sending them on a mission.
Yes. Yeah.
I love when he ran into them in the hallway after he closes the door. He goes, "How did it go?" And they're like, "Oh, it was fine. And we figured it out." He's like, "You figured what out?" And then just kept walking.
He's such a sneaky bastard.
It's great.
So they go back, right? They do their mission. What's cool is, right, they show like, say, four significant things, like we talked about, like the breaking of that pot, Harry getting knocked in the back of the head, hearing the awoo in the background, and then the figure that Harry thinks is his father. You experience it not knowing what they know, and then you get to experience it with them traveling back in time, explaining all the things. That's kind of neat. They didn't make it too complicated, so it's pretty easy to keep up with and pretty easy for them to keep track of with like loopholes or anything.
Yeah, like it's like for kids. It's like time travel for kids.
Totally.
My first time travel kit.
You get an F on that test? Go. Oh, no, you couldn't, because you'd have to meddle with yourself. And you couldn't go back to the same class an hour earlier, because you'd have to punch yourself in the face and lock her in a closet. Because that's another thing we don't see is that, like, yeah, Hermione's in two classes the exact same time. Like, if someone left divinations and went over to potion making, they'd be like, wait, what? She was just in that class, and now here she is.
And it could affect if she goes to the bathroom, runs into, yeah. But yeah, it's cool.
She could pee on herself. What happens if you pee on yourself?
That's a whole other podcast also. It's neat that you watch a good portion of this film with like some things that are mysteries, and they fill in the gaps of the answers with the time travelers. That's always neat, right?
Yeah. Well, and they spend a lot, they really hammer home, everybody who runs into Harry tells him how much he looks like his father. So that at the end, when he's like, that was obviously my dad who cast that spell, like, it wasn't me.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how much I look like him, like, I wasn't over there doing that. I'm not crazy.
Yeah. And that's a pretty big moment. I know we've been watching the films with Zoe, and we're starting, you know, unfortunately we're getting a little bit cynical, and we keep, like, in all these films it's like Harry just gets rescued from somebody every time. He's in trouble, some creature, mystical creature comes by, or an imaginary car, or his dead parents or whatever, and like someone always just rescues him. And so like that was a pretty significant moment for him, that he does his specto patronum and like shoos away the dementors, right? That's his first, that's his bar mitzvah.
Yeah, it's like when he actually does magic and like saves someone.
Yeah.
I was so happy when Buckbeak was alive. That was another thing too, as a kid's movie. I was like, geez, did they just lop off Buckbeak's head? And then I had a moment too where I was like, I was thinking that I was wondering what kind of a timeline we were dealing with. Like, oh my gosh, did they kill Buckbeak on the first time and then they saved him on the second? But this is definitely a what's happened has happened has always happened.
Yeah.
Situation.
Yes.
He finally buys into the truth. Yeah, this is a loop.
It was interesting, though, how it seemed like Dumbledore knew what was going on the whole time, which makes it also seem like a loop, because when they were coming out of Hagrid's house, he was like, hey, look over here.
Yeah, he's stalling.
We have some gardens over here, and everyone turns to look while they sneak Buckbeak away. So that also makes you think that it's been a loop and he's known all along.
But he says, like, you'll save more than one life tonight. But the suggestion is that those lives were never killed, but as long as this has always been happening. But yeah. It has to have happened this way, right? Because they would never have left Hagrid's if they didn't have the, like,
the rock,
the rock in the back of the head. And if they never left, like, none of this would have happened. So it has to have been a loop.
Well, and I'm happy to say too, I wanted to see if they went deeper into something or weirder. I just looked up 10 differences between the book and the movie of Prisoner of Azkaban, and there's none of them are time travel related.
Oh, cool.
So they hit all those beats, it looks like. That was the big deal.
Are there any, it's funny, obviously we don't have to worry about the science of the device because it's magic, so it's not an issue. Are there any loopholes that you've both found with any of the time travel itself?
Well, magic doesn't exist, Scott.
I mean, you talk about it being a loop, but then where, you know, when does the loop stop? Are they always, it's always happening.
Yeah.
Right. It's this is always that little section, that little loop is always happening and always happening, even though, you know, they get back to their selves just as they're disappearing right in the hospital, and then they continue their lives on. But if it is technically a loop, it is always happening in time. So that's a paradox, though, in time travel.
Yeah.
Well, it's not if time, if all time is happening at all times.
If all time is happening at all times, yes.
Scott.
Thank you.
We are at your funeral and your birth right now.
Yeah.
We're all there.
We've already done all the podcasts already.
They're done.
I wonder how some of them are.
Oh my God. There's a good one in there somewhere. The math checks out that we have one good show. Without a doubt. I was listening to, I caught Kelly listening to a podcast the other day and I couldn't really hear what it was. It just sounded like a professional show. And I was just like, oh, that sounds good. That sounds like she's enjoying it. And then she told me later that she was listening to one of my podcasts.
That's a great moment.
And I was like, oh my God. That sounds like a good podcast.
That
does. That sounds like a professionally edited and created podcast. Lucky SOB. So excited.
So it's a simple film, right? I mean, it's a loop. There's no loopholes. It's magic based. Most of the film.
This isn't a time travel movie. This is a movie that has time travel in it.
Yeah, and it's so good. Like, this is definitely one of those devices and situations that I would love to play out more. Like, that's what is kind of a bummer about so many time travel movies is that I don't even know. I mean, it might be, like, trademarked almost. Like, there's so many time travel devices and styles that I would love to expand on in a different way. But like,
well, this device is a magical item, and it's, you know, the mechanism is magic.
I guess, yeah. It would be really fun to see. I would love to do more with this device. I think it would be really fun to, like, you know, if we had seen more of Hermione, or if there had been a, you know, if this was a time travel movie, I guess I just wish this was a time travel movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think there's some really cool stuff you could play with.
If they had tampered with it as, like, curious kids, and then it got messed up, and then they had to go back and fix it. I mean, that's a classic trope, right?
Oh, time turn in a time turn? Like, right. Hell yeah.
What? Say that again?
So let's say like halfway through, they managed to not save Buckbeak. And so instead of waiting till they get all the way to the end to do the loop again, they just go back 10 minutes within, or I guess an hour, whatever it is. They go back one more hour to just get Buckbeak. They're like, all right, the rest of our stuff is going good, but we somehow didn't get Buckbeak. So you do. So let's say, like, you go back 3 hours, you go forward 2 hours, and you go back another hour. So that little loop inside the big loop now has three of you.
Loops inside of loops.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could have been a more interesting film.
And then maybe Hermione could fix the back of her ugly hair.
Is that what my hair looks like? Yeah. Yeah.
That's so great. Have you ever seen someone in public and just thought like, that's me? Like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not you. You know, it's not actually time travel.
Yeah, like one of your lookalikes.
But have you ever, like, because most of the time we don't know what we look like. And I'm sure that, like, if we pointed ourselves out, like, hey, that guy looks like me, someone would go, no, you're not that handsome. You know? But, like,
you'd be like, I slouch that much? <It's> But yes. Totally,
yeah. Oh.
But, you know, it is like an easier version of Tenet, right? When you watch Tenet, you watch a film halfway through and then going back, like, it answers the questions and you see the things of like why it happened. And so this is like a training wheels version of that. Like, and they have to shoot it that way, right? You got to shoot it knowing that you're going to shoot it from the other angle. I think about things like that when I watch it. And so again, much easier version than Tenet. That's how I look at this. It's like, there's four incidences. That's all we got to cover. And I guess they cover more. They have her like punching out Malfoy.
Yeah. Did you guys, I keep wanting to rewatch it and see if during the first time through, if we see any shadows or any, anything at all. And I don't think so.
I think it's shot, you know, well, knowing that they had to do that, but no hints.
Okay, Scott, if one twist is an hour, how many times do you have to spin it to get back to Woodstock?
The ongoing job. It's Scott in Woodstock. We do the math. It's one. How many hours does it take to get back to Woodstock? Oh, yeah. Man. So 24 twists for a day. Yeah. Oh, man. Is there a lot of twists?
He's getting out his calculator.
Yes.
Everybody.
Yes. Math
all
rules.
Right. So we got to do 8,760 for a year. So what is that? That's 69. So it's 30. It's 51. 52. All right. I have to twist it 455,520 times. One, two, three.
Just as fast as Jimmy wailing on a guitar. Just...
And then I got to wait it out in real time to come back.
Yes, you do.
I get to like go from being a hippie to a yuppie. I get to think that The Big Chill is a good movie. I get to relive the 80s through much more skeptical eyes.
What movie? So you've gone back in time. You're already like, you know, you've basically screwed our timeline. We're all going to die because of your little Woodstock prank. What piece of pop culture do you take control of? Do you write Star Wars in 75? Do you write Teen Spirit in 88? What do you do?
Well, I either try to make sure I make the first Flash movie, or I make sure I join the Beastie Boys or the Kids in the Hall.
Oh, all right. Very nice. It's a pill that gives worms to ex-girlfriends. I'm Scott Lifton.
Scott comes back as a kid in the hall, or a Beastie Boy, or both. Oh my god, crossing the stream.
Oh my god.
All right, what would you do?
I would become an astronaut, although I'm the same age as I am now, huh? I'm not younger.
True.
Right.
Very true.
But you could pose some theories that they haven't realized yet.
And by that time, Scott, you'd be a 60-year-old Beastie Boy in 85.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You could be a Star Trek. How about a Star Trek writer, Ari?
Oh, I would probably do something with like discovering some sort of techie thing.
Isn't
that the premise of
Lugal?
Yeah, that's the whole premise of the Hot Tub Time Machine too.
She's gonna make Lugal.
I'm gonna be Lugal.
It's the R iPhone.
Yeah.
What if Desmond's gonna develop GoRunP.com?
Oh, I only if I can go back and fix my bladder.
What would be your contribution?
No, that's it. I would develop Run Pee because I could sit in the movie for an hour, go to the bathroom, spin it back, and then watch the part I missed and see if it was a good time to run pee.
that's good use of your time travel device. No other pop culture thing that you want to attached to?
I just want to control my bladder. That's
you could have been
to.
A police academy extra. You could have been Mahoney.
So do you think with this device or this magical item that you can also go forward in time?
Not with this one, as it says. They do the next iteration of it you can go forward. Well, and it says
if you twist it the other way, maybe it can.
Well, and it says the first time, the first one, you go back. It doesn't say how long you go back in time. I think you can go back as far as you want, but then you only get a 5-minute glimpse. And then this one, you can go back farther, not infinitely farther, but farther. But then you have to live through the whole experience. And then eventually they do make one. They call it the true time turner. Where is the true time turner?
Is that Tina Turner? No. Too soon? Ted Turner.
Yeah. So it says by 2020. So I forget that Harry Potter is real time. Like I it's hard for me not to watch Harry Potter and think it's, you know, I mean, I guess their clothes are modern, but there's still just something science fiction, something fantasy about it that I always think it's older. But I forget as people write fan fiction and whatnot that they're, you know, writing in real time. So it says by 2020, two other true kind of time turners were created. The prototype only let the time travelers stay in the past for 5 minutes, while the improved model let them stay in the past for as long as they wanted and return to the future when they wanted to. The British Ministry of Time encased an hour reversal charm in the time turners they created for additional stability. The number of times one turned the hourglass corresponded to the number of hours one traveled back in time. However, they can only stay in the past for 5 hours at a time without the possibility of serious harm to the traveler or to the time itself.
Good to know.
But it says stay back in time, so that makes me think that that's another one. Yeah, again, we need to write Harry Potter 3.5, the Prisoner of Azkaban.
It's weird that they don't have what we now say is like that moment. There's always the time travel thing where like this is how it works, these are the rules. And to have something so serious as time travel and they just blow over it like it's like, oh yeah, and just don't get caught and it's dangerous. Like that's very weird. Every movie's got that moment of here's how you do it, here's what you can do, here's what you can't, and here's how it works. And there's none of that.
Well, and they do it in the middle of a bustling nursing ward. Like, who's to say when they stop going back in time? I mean, people were passing through them while they were traveling back in time.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that 3 hours is up, if there just happens to be a nurse leaning over Ron, it's like, and why is Ron still there 3 hours before?
He wasn't.
He wasn't.
The room was empty.
Okay, it was empty. Okay.
Yeah, that part is cool. I like when you see the whole room moving around them, but it took a while for them to shoot that, apparently.
That reminds me of The Time Machine, the movie The Time Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where it stays still and everything around it changes, which is, you know, great when they only travel in time and not in space. So this was a travel in time and not in space story.
It's interesting in these movies, right? Besides how you time travel, the experience of what traveling through time visually looks like, right? Is it like a bolt of lightning on your around your car? Is it that you're going through like Tomorrow War, where you're going through like a time warp, or like this one where you can see time reversing? That's always really interesting.
It's very, very cool. I want to hear from our listeners more about this, because I know we're missing something, and maybe it's not in the movie. I think we've done a good job of breaking down what time travel they put in the movie, but I would like to some outside influences to help school us about other ways. I'm sure there's some if not canon, some at least fan fiction out there of people utilizing this device, and I would love to hear more about it.
Yeah, there's some Potter fans out there. There's people with opinions.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel Galah.
And I'm Scott Lifton.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Goodbye.